In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, we might be a little disgruntled and perplexed at seeing how easy and simple the method is Jesus adopts here to call Matthew into his service. With only two words, follow me, and nothing else, Matthew gets up here and follows Jesus Christ. Why did not Jesus Christ first verify who this Matthew is and what skills he had? He should have done a background check, maybe. He should have inquired about his skills and his abilities first before he took him into his service as an apostle. How are his communicative skills? How can he preach? And how is his theological discernment? And how is he able to lead people? Admittedly, we at the seminary would like or would be inclined to ask such questions. We ourselves are learning here to become well-trained leaders in the church. We learn to preach, we learn to lead in the liturgy and in the worship life. We conduct the Bible study, teach the classes, learn how to take care of the sheep and their souls for a life eternal. Matthew, in contrast here, is called without any prior notification or qualification. Jesus meets him and with nothing but a wink and a few words, makes him his own servant. But this is precisely the point, dear friends. We are dealing here not with a call to the ministry of the church. There is also a higher calling than that, we are told. Matthew is called by Christ to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, in other words, a Christian. We don't have here a call to a leadership role in the church, but one to become a disciple of Christ. And such a call is contingent on nothing. It is unconditional, based on no prior criteria whatsoever. We don't have to go on pilgrimages or seek special credential first before Jesus Christ comes to us to call us. This call of Christ, follow me, is a total gospel call in its briefest form. It is an act of mercy and takes you up just as you are. There are many other calls equally obliging in this world. A call to be enlisted for military service the reserves would never brave to turn down. A call to serve as a juror in a jury is also a call one would never reject unless for good and specified reasons. A call to our president's office for an extra bonus check would have us at his door in a matter of seconds. There are certain calls in this world that just have to be obeyed. Their refusal could mean one of many things: treason, stupidity, or disobedience. And so Christ's call to his disciple Matthew, follow me, is one you would not want to decline either. But simply put, we follow him and we are obliged to it because we are sinners. Though these two words, follow me, sound so simple, almost unpretentious, they do bring about a radical change in the life of every person. God at creation called forth life from nothing, and Christ's call here to Matthew equals that. It brings salvation, forgiveness, life, eternal life. And this call, dear friends, continues to this very day. It rings out all over the world through the voice of the church and its disciples, in the same way as they were once spoken to Matthew and the sinners 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ. Such a call to follow him will only be heard as long as the church pursues her mission. Through all his disciples, Christ is still in action today. Through us all, Christ still goes out, calls, and he forgives. In the midst of an indifferent world, or at least in a society that is very much on a self-seeking trip, contemplating alternative ways to happiness, we must point them to Jesus Christ. Just like Matthew was unconditionally taken up by Jesus Christ while sitting in the booth, and just as we were also called unconditionally in the act of baptism, Christ too continues to call others to a life they will find nowhere else. And yet Christ's call, as powerful and as changing it is in one's life, it can still be refused and rejected. The path of every disciple, already called, is laden with obstacles that distract him from a total commitment. Discipleship is a challenging and a daunting task. The famous theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote on the cost of discipleship. He illustrates in his own person and with the loss of his life that the cost of rejection and possible persecution for being a disciple are very real. And how tempting is it not then for all of us to abandon such a calling and to go separate ways away from Jesus Christ himself? And for this reason, our gospel points in two directions. It points to us as sinners and as being righteous at the same time. But it highlights the role of the Pharisees, and it serves this role of the Pharisees as a negative example what disciples are not to do, what discipleship is not about. For Christ does not transform us from a sinful to a righteous person so that we can go on our own independent way, away from Jesus Christ. For the righteousness that we receive from him is a gift, a total gift, and we do not flaunt with it or boast with it over others. And we should know that we cannot transgress and go our own ways. Only if we stay with him, follow him, and live with him, and constantly have his words ring in our ears, we are having a righteous life guaranteed. And so if we do not stick close to his word as it is preached and given, and if the Holy Spirit is not continually doing a sanctifying work on us, we would, if left on our own, fail miserably as his disciples. And so for this reason, the story reminds us of Matthew and the public sinners, those who sin by profession or by lifestyle, and they serve us as a grim reminder where we came from and where we will always return with our Jesus Christ. And so we are told here that discipleship is one of self-negation, totally. We surrender ourselves to him as those who are totally inadequate in our thinking and in our doing. And the act of kneeling in the church at the confession of our sins is the most appropriate symbolic form indicating such a spiritual surrender to God. As true Lutherans, then, we defy all synergistic thoughts we take from this gospel lesson. We do say here that gospel is calling us and through Jesus Christ. In him and with him, we may look at ourselves not only as sinners, but as those who have been forgiven. The table fellowship Jesus Christ here has with the tax collectors and the public sinners points to the fellowship we will one day have with him in heaven, and it points to the fellowship we have now where he is heard and is given. And so in conclusion, dear friends, Christ's call, follow me, is a total gospel call. It is a call we may rejoice over and be thankful of. Through him we have already now received the benefits and the gifts of our eternal call to heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.